Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Well, the Lord is truly good to us, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Thank you, Lord. How many believe he's got more for you? More?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's one reason you're here, right? To get more from him. And he's faithful. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness are not disappointed, but they are satisfied. They are filled.
Amen.
It's a privilege to be with you again, be a part of this great meeting, and along with the other ministers that are here. And we've all of us have kind of made this a habit, haven't we? Just keep meeting up here. And it's a good habit. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me, please, in the scriptures to the book of Second Corinthians. In seeking the Lord about what my part would be, I have some initial direction, but not all of it yet. But I know the Lord's faithful. And you know, all you need to know is where to start. Is that right? That's all you need to know. And take a step, and then he'll show you the rest. That's life with God in a nutshell, isn't it? I mean, we walk by faith, not by sight, not by what you see and know. Well, the Lord impressed this upon me, and don't assume that you already know this completely. Let's believe God just like we prayed for the Spirit of God to enlighten us and quicken us. In 2 Corinthians, the second chapter and the 11th verse, 2 Corinthians 2:11, scripture that a lot of folks have marked. What does it say? He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. The previous verse talked about forgiving. Forgiving. You know, the Lord didn't just give us the love command because it was the nice thing to do. There's many, many reasons why he did. And one of the reasons he did, I can see this the clearer, the further I go, is to protect us. He gave us the love command to protect us. We've begun a series at our churches recently on mercy over judgment. And we're talking about judging, what it is, and how to not do it, how to stop doing it. And one of the big ways you stop judging is just walk in love.
Amen.
Right? If you're loving somebody, you're not going to be judging them.
That's right.
And that's great and good for them, but The reason judging is so prevalent, and it is, I would be very surprised and impressed if you made it all week last week without judging somebody. I'm talking to every person in here. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you don't think that's right, you might need to study the subject. But what's going on, it's not just that it causes problems immediately, but what the enemy is trying to do. How many remember Matthew 7 when Jesus said, judge not? Anybody remember the rest of the verse? What does it say?
Judge.
That you be not judged. He didn't just say, don't judge because it's bad. What did he say? Don't judge so you won't get judged. And so many folks are not even aware of how this works and how this operates. And you see right here, ignorant of his device. And that gives him an advantage. The enemy has an advantage in many believers' lives because of their ignorance of his device. But we don't have to be ignorant of his device. Amen. Thank God the light of the word will show it up, and the truth will make us free. Amen. Anybody open for some more light and some more truth and get free and shut the door to the enemy and stop any access that he has had to cause us trouble and cause us problems. Go right on over to the 11th chapter now. The 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And notice this in verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11:13, he said, "For such are false apostles." There were individuals that he was dealing with that called themselves apostles, but they weren't. They were false apostles. And what was happening was some of the churches that the Lord used Paul to start, these folks had come in and led people away from Paul after themselves. And he even uses the term, if you look at the Greek, they touted themselves as not just an apostle like Paul, but they were super apostles. They were out beyond Paul. Now keep this in mind, because the enemy has not changed tactics. He doesn't need to. The old ones worked too well. So these super apostles now are causing people to leave Paul and leave his ministry and follow after them because they've found something new, something greater. This is the new move. This is the new revelation. And we're going into that. And poor old Paul, bless his heart, he's getting old and he's just not, he don't see the new revelation. And what Paul say, what the Spirit of God through Paul say about them? They are false apostles. They're not real apostles of God. They're fake apostles. They are deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now here's something. Anything that's the enemy, here's a way you can detect it and discern it. Somewhere there will be some falseness about it, because he is the father of lies. And he can't be involved in anything without some lying be a part of it. Some covering and hiding and deceiving and lying. And when you see that, you know it's the wrong spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Hallelujah. It's impossible for God to lie. And that was one of the, notice that's the next thing he says after false apostles, they are what? Deceitful. Deceitful. They say one thing over here, and they say something else to this group, and they say this, but they didn't do what they said they'd do, and they hid this. And now they got reasons for it, but it's still deception. And it says they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, that shouldn't shock us. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I want you to say that out loud. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now this is, we read in the second chapter, we're not ignorant of his devices. This is one of the big thing of his device we need to be enlightened about. How he functions. How he operates. And here we're given a description of how he operates and how those who yield to him operate the same way. They got it from him. Keep reading. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, many Christians believe and understand that there is an enemy, that there is a devil, that there is an adversary, and that he tries to hinder you, and he tries to get into your life to steal, kill, and destroy. But I think what many believers do not understand is he does not come as the devil. He does not come with horns and a pitchfork. Ever. How does he come? One of the devil's favorite things is to convince you he's from God. There's never been a trickier, slicker, lying being than the devil. And you talk about somebody that's convincing. You talk about an actor. He's the best there's ever been. And he's practiced on human beings for millennia. We don't do ourselves any favors underestimating his shrewdness. The thing that protects us is the Word of God and the Spirit of God and obeying him. Not counting on our wits to match wits against him, but just instead of going into reasoning, we just stay in faith. Amen. Come on, are you listening? Yes. We don't try to figure things out. You get into that, you get over in his arena. That's exactly what he wants you to do. You know what happened with Adam and Eve? He got them to listen to him. Let him explain to them how they wouldn't really die. How that there was more to it than what God had revealed to them. And how that it was good, it was pleasant to eat, and it was good for wisdom. Do you hear that phrase? Good, to be desired, good. He transforms himself into an angel of light and tries to get you to believe and believe something is good. Y'all with me tonight? What's all this about? This is about getting free and staying free. This is about when the enemy comes and tries to lead you astray, you recognize him when he rounds the corner, a block away. Come on, are you with me now? This is about not letting him mislead you and trick you. Somebody said out loud, I'm not ignorant. Of his devices. See, if we're not ignorant of how he works, then he loses any advantage over us or in hurting us or dealing with us. Go with me to Matthew, please. Matthew, the 7th chapter. The enemy's very crafty, but he's no match for the one who's inside us. Who's helping us. I'm sure the enemy thinks it's quite unfair that the Holy Spirit of God gets to help us. Every time he tries to trick us, he wants it to just be one-on-one between him and us. And if you're smart, when everything that's going on, every time he brings a thought to you or a feeling or tries to do something, you'll go, Holy Spirit, what should I do with this? Show me what to do with this. And he'll show you. Amen. And the enemy will go, no, just me and you. But we got the greater one inside of us everywhere we go, everything we do. And if we'll listen to him, we won't be tricked. We won't be fooled. Notice with me in Mark 7. Mark 7 and 1. You see an example of what we're talking about here. Mark 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. And if you read other accounts, you'll see that Jesus purposely didn't wash his hands. For it, some say it's unsanitary. It was a big deal with them. And he goes on to explain what the issue was, but he didn't wash them on purpose. And it made them mad, upset them, because they were the first church of hand washing. It had become a very big deal. And it wasn't just about sanitation. It was about a certain washing ritual and ceremony. And what had happened as you read this, that had become more important than the Word of God. In verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft eat not, holding the what?
Tradition
of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. I mean, they were just spending a lot of the day washing stuff. And it wasn't just to be clean. Now, somebody said, well, I like being clean. That's great. This wasn't about being clean. It was about being righteous and religious. And the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? They're upset because he's violating the tradition. He answered and said to them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, this is the enemy's device to replace living fellowship and relationship with ritual, with man's tradition and religion. One of the worst enemies Christianity has on the planet is religion. Because it's a replacement for the real thing. And howbeit, verse 7, he said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Why would you do that? Come on, think about this. Who would knowingly, purposely reject scriptures so they could hold on to something a man came up with? Who would do that? And why would you do that? Can you see there's some deception involved in this? They did not call themselves doing this. They call themselves doing this for God. And somewhere along the line it got lost. He never told them to do all this washing. But somebody got a washing revelation. Maybe he had a dream or a vision. And saw washing. Everything was getting washed. And so they started preaching washing. And they had washing seminars.
Yeah.
And washing lines that they ministered washing in. And then they had workshops on how to wash correctly. You're laughing, but it had become a whole way of life. And you think about the little kids born into this. You're born into it, and mom and daddy is talking about washing all the time. And then washing, and you didn't wash this, and you didn't wash that, you better wash this. And you grow up thinking, that's God. Washing is God. Not realizing the enemy has gotten you to turn loose of what God gave you and given you something else. And he didn't do it as the devil, because you wouldn't have received that. He did it as a messenger sent from God, a being of light with a new revelation. And if you don't know God well enough and you don't know the Word well enough, you're easily duped and deceived. Thank God for this holy book. Amen. How many agree with me? Thank God. Yes. And for the author of this holy book living inside you 24/7, is that right? Yes. To help you to discern. Yes. Between what's him and what's just man, and what's God given and what's man made. And what's the enemy trying to deceive and trick. Now notice this other thing he mentions here. He said, verse 9, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Korban, which was a word that meant it's a gift, by whatever you might be profited by me, he shall be free, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. The Lord gave the command, honor your father and mother. Here, Jesus interprets the command as doing something for them financially and materially. And he said, you have rejected the commandment by something else you've come up with called Korban. Again, somebody had a revelation that was out beyond where most normal, nominal Christians were operating. And that is, they dedicated all of their monies to the temple and the things of God. And because it was dedicated, then that released them from doing anything for mom and dad, doing other things. Why? I'm operating on a higher level on Korban. Now, who got that revelation? How did that come? Another way you can detect the enemy, what's him, is pride. He's the proudest being in creation. So arrogant. So proud, and those that are yielding to him with a false doctrine can't help but come across superior. Like, you poor dumb things, they may not say it, but you poor dumb things, you've been preaching out here for 30 years and you don't even know what the gospel is. Don't even have a revelation. Well, when the Lord reveals something new to you, it's not going to discount everything he's already given you and shown to you through the years. It's going to add to it. Come on, can you see this? It'll agree with all of it, and it'll flow together. But the enemy, who brought this revelation of Korban? It was the enemy. Who else would try to get you to reject the Word of God? But did they know it was the enemy? No, they thought it was God. This is a higher level of commitment. All my stuff's dedicated to God. So I'm not responsible for doing anything for mom and dad anymore because I'm dedicated on a higher plane. See, it came across as something from God, as a messenger from God. And the enemy, that's the way he likes to come across. Because it's the most effective with us because what? We want to serve God. We want what he has for us. We want to follow him, please him, obey him. The enemy knows that. Now, I know some of these thoughts don't make you want to jump and run the aisle. But is it truth or not? Yes. Do we have an enemy?
Yes.
How does he come against you? Not as the devil. He comes as an angel of light. Angel means a messenger. One sent from God. And so you'll find that throughout Christianity, and it's been this way for centuries, there are these phrases like Corban. There are these phrases that have been woven into Christianity that people have come to hold sacred. Not realizing, not only is it not scripture, but it contradicts other scripture. I'm going to give you a few of them. Are you ready?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Are you sure? Let me check this bunch over here, y'all. Are we okay? I mean,
yes.
You look a little pale. Are you okay?
Yes.
You know, the Lord obviously believed you could handle this. Is that right? Or we wouldn't be talking about it. We'd be talking about something else. Somebody say it again. By the grace of God,
I am not ignorant
of Satan's devices. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. You know, when the enemy came to tempt Jesus, how'd that go? Remember that? At one point, when he can't get Jesus to yield to the temptation, what does he resort to now? Quoting scriptures. Is that right? Quoting scriptures. Why? Because this is what Jesus cares about. Quoting scriptures. If you be the Son of God, throw yourself off this pinnacle. Because it is written. He gives his angels charge over you. They'll bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. You believe that, don't you? Don't you believe that? Well, then prove it. Don't just be a hearer only. Do it. Jump. You believe it or not. See, you don't really believe it or you've already jumped. Hmm? This is the word of God. But it's coming from the enemy. Now, I know people don't like to think about this because it seems, oh, that scares me, that bothers me. It's the way it's always been, whether you're acknowledging it or not. And you don't have to be afraid if you'll put the word first place and if you'll be open and teachable.
Hmm?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And this is one of the reasons God gives us leaders. Because there's an anointing on our leaders to help us sort these things while we're growing up. And if it's the Holy Spirit through them, you'll recognize it because you got the same Holy Spirit in you.
That's right.
There'll be a quickening. It's not that you're dependent on them, but you're supposed to get help through them. The Lord gave me this illustration. It's been a couple of years ago now. He said, many of my people are working without a net. Does anybody know what that means?
Yes.
Like a circus act. right? High wire guy, flying trapeze or whatever. How many understand you're working without a net? You got no margin for error. Is that right? I mean, you make a little mistake, it's your last mistake. Because you plummet down, boom. But if you got a net, if you make a mistake, it's not the end. Because there's something else in place to stop your fall in between you and the destruction. And when he said that to me, I knew what he's talking about. It's the gifts that he's given to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The reason people are working without a net is because they haven't given these gifts the place in their lives that they should have. It's not that the ministry gifts are supposed to tell you what car to buy and what color shirt to wear and decide every little thing for you. No, they're supposed to help train you how to be led for the Spirit for yourself. But there's also going to be things that come up, like these new revelations, like these new doctrines. Come on, are you with me? And part of the anointing on their lives is to help you see what's God and what's not God. And if you cast that off, you're working without a net. Maybe we'll talk more about that later. Where are you at? You still in Mark? Y'all okay?
Yeah.
I'm comfortable. Are you comfortable? Let me mention a couple of these phrases that are embraced broadly by Christianity. And yet, truth be told, they are part of it is a doctrine of devils. Doctrines of devils that he refers to in the scriptures are not just preached in Satanist churches.
Right.
They're preached over pulpits of churches by Christian ministers that have been deceived. But we're getting into it tonight, aren't we? Tell me what the truth will do for you. It will make you free. And where the spirit of liberty is, spirit of God is, there is liberty or freedom. The truth lets you see, and the truth makes you free. Lies blind and lies bind. And the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel. That's the only thing that's keeping them from coming in, being in. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And he's very, very good at what he does. You won't help yourself by underestimating his ability to lie and deceive and trick. But if we'll rely on the greater one inside us, he's no match for him.
Amen.
Any day of the week. Here's one of these phrases. God is in control. God is in total control. God is in complete control. Sounds good. Sounds like you're honoring God. But it's just not true. I said it's not true. The scripture says, I set before you, choose you. Life or death, blessing or cursing. How many know the Bible is full of, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't, something else will happen. If God is really controlling everything, there can be no if.
That's right.
It's just going to happen the way he decrees, no matter what you choose. Come on, can you see this? But see, the reason I'm saying some of these things, see how the enemy comes across. It sounds like you're showing respect to God. Like, well, I have more faith that God's powerful than you do because I believe he's in total control of everything. And you'll see that people get adamant about it. Oh, yes, yes, he is. I've had preachers come throw a finger in my face and say, well, I tell you one thing, when God gets ready for you to do something, you will do it. If God was going to make anybody do anything, he would make people get born again. Is that right? And if he's not going to do that, then he's not going to do it on all these lesser things. If you want to say God is all powerful and all knowing and his ultimate plan will be fulfilled, absolutely. Absolutely. But God, in his sovereignty and in his wisdom, has left some things up to us. And while his plan will be done, it can be done with you or with somebody else. Uh-huh. It'll get done. Question is, will you be a part of it? That is our choice. He has left it to us. And many things in this life are left up to us. In his sovereignty and wisdom, he did that. He left it up to us. He let you choose. Here's another one. I'm just saying these to not try to delve into all the doctrinal details of it, but just to get familiar with the spirit of these things, what they look like, what they sound like. Just let go and let God. See, you knew it. Just let go and let God. What verse is that? I'm serious. Someone says, well, I believe that's strong. Well, what verse is it? I mean, if you believe something strong, you ought to have some verses for it. Just let go and let God. And the implication is, the big thing is, we need to get out of the way. Because really, it's all him and none of me. Someone say, what's wrong with that? It's not Bible. It's contrary to Scripture. And the enemy wants you to believe this so you won't do your part. And you try to leave everything up to him. I'm pausing for effect now. If you got questions about that last one I mentioned, the Lord gave us a series. I don't know, it's what, like 15 or 18 messages on You Choose, talking about is God in control of everything. And boy, we went through a lot of scripture. And a fellow wrote in a testimony. And he listened to that, and he got about to the halfway through the first message, and it made him so mad, he grabbed him and threw him in the trash can. And he said, now, you know, I listened to Brother Keith some, but this is absolutely wrong. And so he threw him in a trash can. And he said a little bit later on, the Lord dealt with him. Well, do what he said, because in the tape I had said, if you don't think this is right, go with me through the scriptures and prove it wrong. And find the other scriptures that prove what you say you believe. Don't just say, I don't believe like that. Find it in the Word. Where's it at? If it's that big a deal, if you believe it's so strong, it should be easy to find plenty of scriptures for it. Right? And so he said, I'm going to do it. So we went and pulled him back out of the garbage. And by tape four, he was repenting. And he wrote to us. That's why we knew, is he wrote the wrote to us and said, it has changed my life. Because I thought that was just honoring God. And that's what he had been taught, and his parents believed, and his grandparents believed, and had been preached over the pulpits. And when he came face to face with the scripture, it made him mad because it contradicted his tradition.
Right.
Oh, come on, are you listening? And he's a good man. He's obviously a good man. Look at how teachable he became and how open he was to the scriptures and eventually willing to change. A lot of people, that would have been the end. Tapes would have stayed in the trash. Or CDs, whatever they are. I know when I had the privilege of going to Rhema Bible Training Center, the first year I was there, the Lord dealt with me. I wasn't there but a couple of months. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, examine everything you believe. Discipline yourself to find it in the written word. Examine it. Question it. I knew it was a charge from the Lord. So for the rest of that year and the next year and even after that, I endeavored to do that. Something would come up and I thought, well, I believe that. And the Spirit of God would remind me, where is it at? Where's it at? And I think, okay, I'll find it. And you have to discipline yourself because it's easier to just say, well, I believe this, you believe that. We all have a right to our beliefs. Not if Jesus is your Lord, you don't.
That's right. Amen.
If Jesus is truly your Lord, you don't have a right. Just make up stuff you want to believe and believe it contrary to what he told you to believe.
Amen.
That's not him being Lord in your life. If he's Lord, we believe what he tells us,
amen.
Right?
Yes.
And if what he tells us contradicts what we thought, well, then we change.
Yes.
We turn loose of that belief and embrace what he said. And so there were times that I found scriptures for it, and I thought, well, yeah, praise God, there it is. Well, see, now I'm stronger than ever before. But then there were many times I'd think, well, I believe that. And he said, well, where's it at? I'd look, couldn't find it. Get out the concordance. Well, I know it's in there. Search for days. And instead of finding any support, found three scriptures that contradicted it. And I'm thinking, well, I've believed that all my life. Where did I get that?
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times I heard it over the pulpit. Our grandpa believed it. Come on, are y'all with me? Our mama always said, a tradition. You see what we're talking about, friend? This is how the enemy works. He doesn't come to the front door in a red suit, horns, and a pitchfork. He tries to slip up on your blind side and go, the Lord has sent me. And he won't show you his true self, but you'll see bright light and shining. He looks like an angel of light, and he'll even quote some scriptures for you. And then he'll give you another way of looking at it, and he'll warp it and give you a phrase that you wind up hanging on to more than you do the scripture. Thinking they agree when in your ignorance not realizing they don't agree. What's wrong with just let go and let God? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go with me. Since we're talking about scriptures, then you need some scriptures for this, don't you? Go with me to 1 Timothy 6. What you need to do is just let go and let God. You need to just realize that it's all him. And it's none of me. And what we need to do is just completely get out of the way and everything has already been done and will be done. If we'll just turn our heads off and just get out of his way. You should see some of the looks I'm getting across the crowd right now. 1 Timothy 6, 12. Anybody got it marked? 1 Timothy 6, 12. Let God fight. Huh? And let go. Come on, are y'all reading? Let God do it. And just let go. No. See, the scripture, instead of saying let go, it says lay hold.
Yes, come on. Come on.
Huh? Is there any difference between let go and lay hold? Is there any difference between let go and lay hold? Yes, God has paid the price. Jesus paid the price for everything. He has bought everything and paid for it. He's taken care of everything. God has already provided everything, but he has not received it for us. And he's not going to receive it for us. That's our part. And that's what the enemy doesn't want you to see. He wants you to try to leave up to God all of it. And you can't leave up to God what he left up to you. There's deception going on. But people cling to these mantras. Just need to get out of his way and let go. No. No. We need to lay hold and then hold fast.
Come on.
These are scriptures.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Let go and let God's not a scripture. Is it?
No.
Anybody know where that scripture is at? Let go and let God. I'll tell you where it's at. It's in the second book of Imaginations. It is from the enemy, a substitute. It's all up to God. God does everything and we do nothing. And if we try to do anything, it just gets in his way. So what we need to do is just get out of the way and let God do it. Because he doesn't need us. He don't need your little puny efforts in this. Just get out of the way. See, if you don't know the word, if you don't know what the Lord has said, you don't know the spirit of what he said, that sounds like it's honoring God. It sounds like, well, yeah, it sounds like humility. God's everything, and I'm nothing. We may need to come back and preach this exact message over again from the start tomorrow night and just go over it again real slow. And if you're saying, I still believe let go and let God. I'm not surprised if that's the case. I had a lady come up to me one time after a service. And you could tell just by looking at her, she wasn't happy. She said, "Now, I don't agree." And she began to talk about some things that I had said. And she said, "Cause it's just like the song says." I said, "What?" She said, "Just like the song says." I said, "Like the what says?" She said, "You know, the song." And she began to sing me the song. She is contradicting scriptures that we've read to her based on her holding on to phrases in a song. Now that's no more bizarre than any of these other things. Can you see it? Corban. Can you see that? Let go, let God. God is in complete control. Sounds religious.
Exactly.
And there is a superiority in, you poor little simpletons just don't know. You don't have the kind of faith I do. Because I don't believe God can just do something. I believe God. When I was a teenager, I believed that foolishness too. I actually told somebody one day, I said, God's in control. God's absolutely in control. I mean, we were up by a street. I said, if I stepped out in the road in front of that truck, if it wasn't God's will, nothing would happen. How wrong I was. But see, I thought I was being reverent and respectful of how big God is and how powerful and how great He is. But I'm letting the enemy feed me lies. Things that actually contradict the Word of God. It wasn't God's choice whether you ate cornflakes or Cheerios this morning. He didn't decide that. And a whole bunch of stuff in your life is the same way. And even though something is His perfect will and plan, He's not going to make us choose it. Did He say, how many remember scripture that said, you choose? Did He say, you choose? And then followed it by saying, if you choose this, these good things are going to happen. If you choose to obey. If you choose not to, some bad stuff is going to happen. And if you choose the wrong thing, can you blame Him for your choice? Not if we're honest. Read 1 Timothy 6 with me. What does it say? Hmm? 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Who's going to do it? Who's understood subject? Fight the good fight of faith and do what? That's not letting go. I'm not trying to make anybody upset. If you think that you're right about something, don't just get upset with me. Discipline yourself to go back to the Word and find it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Right? And see it. But if you realize that it's something you've thought wrong about and you didn't get it from the Word originally, you got it through somebody who got it through somebody who got it through somebody. And just because something's been around a long time doesn't make it true. It was wrong 500 years ago. And it's still wrong if it contradicts what He said. Say it out loud, fight the good fight.
Of faith.
And do what else?
Lay hold
on eternal life, whereunto you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let me read Proverbs 3 to you. I'm going to give you some more scripture along this line. You like scripture, don't you?
Yes.
Proverbs 3:13. You don't have to turn there, just listen. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Verse 18, she's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retains her. What do we need to do with the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God includes the plan of God. It's too easy to be lazy spiritually. And so it's just all up to God, and then imagine everything that happens is somehow God. And everything that didn't happen is somehow God. That's the first church of no-fault religion. No matter what happens, It's not my fault. No matter what doesn't happen, it's not my fault. It's somehow the mysterious, unknowable will of God, because after all, He's in control of it all. This is not Bible. It's holy, sacred cow tradition. But it's not Bible. It's contrary to Scriptures. Come on, help me out, guys. Let go or lay hold? Come on, which one?
Lay hold.
Huh? Leave it all up to Him or fight the good fight of faith? Certainly in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. But we're not by ourselves. He's in us. He's with us. And with Him, we can do all things. Is that right? By Him. Now, did you hear that? We can do all things. By Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say that out loud again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Who can do it? God can do all things. That's not what He said. I can do all things, not by myself, but through Him. But it's still me doing something.
Amen.
I know I struggled with this as a teenager. I was born again in a Baptist church. Wonderful people. Thank God for them. I spent some time going to Church of God church. But my grandmother, as children, took us to a Pentecostal church. And I mean a wild one, too. So after I was born again, I knew speaking with tongues and being filled was right. My grandmother did. She got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues in the cotton field, picking cotton. And I knew she was a godly woman. I knew she heard from God. And so I wanted that. And so we'd have revival meetings. And at the end of the service, they'd give an open altar call. The men would come up on one side and the women would come up on the other side. And we'd tarry for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what we knew. And I must have logged hundreds of hours tarrying for the Holy Spirit without receiving through all those times. And here's what I was saying and believing during that time. Well, I tell you one thing. I don't want it to be me. I want it to be all Him. I don't want it to be me. If you hear me speaking in tongues, you'll know it wasn't me. Because I'm not a put on. I'm not a fake. I want it to be all God. And as long as I believe that, I did not receive. And I did not speak in tongues. Why? Because that's unscriptural. That's contrary to the Bible. Go to Acts 2. We need scripture for things, don't we? Go to Acts 2, please. See, their whole doctrines have developed around what I'm talking about now. That, you know, it's not God's will, plan for everybody to speak in tongues. Some have that gift, but other people have other gifts. And this is, you know, basically it's not for everybody, this speaking in tongues. That's not true. Speaking in tongues is for every believer. Every believer. No exceptions. Do you know the epistles were written to tongue talkers? In the New Testament, the Corinthians were tongue talkers. The Ephesians were tongue talkers. Come on, y'all with me. These people spoke in tongues. But what I'm talking about, folks have said, well, if God wanted me to have it, then okay, but you know, is it up to me? Absolutely, it's up to you. What God has given in His grace must be received with our faith. And faith without action is an unliving, non-productive faith. I found that out after months and months and months. I mean, there were times, I remember one night, I did it before Phyllis and I got married, and then after we got married, she's a Catholic girl. And boy, this is strange to her. And she told me later, she said, she's sitting back in the back, and I'm up tarrying again. And she said, usually what she prayed was, oh God, please give him whatever he wants so we can leave and go home. She didn't understand this because nobody in her family spoke in tongues, and that was brand new to her. And so one night, she could see I'm sincere. How many of you can be sincerely wrong? And yet you're very sincere, but you're just absolutely wrong. And she's prayed again, God, and she began to think, she said, Lord, am I hindering him some way? Is there something I could do to help him? And she decided she should come to the altar, which was a big move for her.
Right.
And when she got up to the front, the Spirit of God fell on her. And she fell out under the power. And it went through the whole church, and they just had a hallelujah time. And they said, you need to be baptized in water now. And we didn't have a baptistry, and it was wintertime. What that means is you load up and you drive out to the pond. Ain't no lights out there. And you get baptized. So, well, we thought, sure. I mean, we're just as green as can be. We thought, great, let's go. And so the pastors, we rode in the car with them, and they're telling Phyllis, she and I was in the back seat. They said, now listen. When you go under the water, just believe you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues. And in her simplicity, she said, okay. It was wintertime. The water was cold. And she said when she stepped into the water, she didn't even feel it.
Wow.
It felt like warm bath water to her. And when she went under the water, she said, but from the time she started coming back up, she started speaking in tongues. And when she come up, she's speaking in tongues. She had an experience in God. She was 3 days and nights, didn't eat, didn't sleep, didn't need to. Talking in tongues like a house of fire. And I'm still tarrying. God, Lord. My grandmother's secretary and treasurer of the Pentecostal church for 60 years. I mean, Lord, something's not right here. I mean, she's a Catholic girl. But what did she do? Come on, help me out. What did she do? She received. She received. Look, read this in Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they, everybody say they.
They
were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Who began to speak?
They
were filled. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who did the speaking?
They did.
Who got filled?
They did.
Who gave the utterance? The Holy Spirit gave the utterance. But see, what I'm wanting him to do it all. Because it's all God. All of him and none of me. And what I need to do is just get out of the way and let go. And let him do it. And man, I was working on it. And the brothers that were with me, they meant well. But none of us, you know, had very, all of us just had very, very little light. And so they'd beat me in the back. I'm praying at the altar. They'd go, "Hold on, brother. Turn loose, brother. Let him have it. Let him have it. Let him have your tongue. Let him have it. Let him have it. Let him have it." I said, "Oh, God, you want it? It's God. Huh?" They'd shake me and they'd try to help me. And I don't mean we did this for 15 minutes. We did this over a period of months and years. Like I said, I guess hundreds of hours. I remember one night, you know, when you don't pray in the spirit, all you can do is pray in your understanding. And you pray that, everything you know, in about 3 minutes. And then what do? You pray the same thing over and over again. And really, it's vain repetitions, but I didn't know any better. And I'm saying, "Oh, God, give me the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Oh, God." I mean, when you're saying the same thing, you have to change it up a little bit. You have to put emphasis on different words because you don't know what else to say. And so at one point, they said, "What you need to do is shave that mustache off." I said, "You think so?" He said, "That's it. You shave a mustache off, you get the Holy Ghost." I said, "Okay." So I shaved her off. And there was thing after thing after thing that they said, "You do this and you'll get it." And I did, and I didn't. But if I got to talking about somebody about it, I'd pipe up and say, "Well, I tell you one thing now. If you hear me talking in tongues, it won't be me. It won't be me. It'll be all God. Because I'm not a phony. I'm not put on. And I meant well. I'm sincere. But I am wrong." Come on, let's examine this. I don't want it to be me. Then who do you want it to be? I want to be the Holy Ghost. You want the Holy Ghost to get filled with the Holy Ghost. No. What do you mean? See, this is confusing. You don't know what you mean. Huh? I want him to speak. Did it say he spoke? Go to 1 Corinthians 14. This is helping somebody right now, I can tell. Somebody that struggled like I did is going to get free in just a few minutes. I'll let you watch and see. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God." Who's speaking? Who's speaking? He's speaking. "No man understands him, albeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries." Verse 4, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church." Skip on down to 14, verse 14. "If I pray in an unknown tongue, the Holy Ghost is praying." Huh? Come on, read the scripture now. "My spirit is praying." Now hold that thought in mind. We're kicking a holy cow right now. I can hear her. Moo. Smith said, "When you're talking in tongues, that's the Holy Ghost." Not necessarily. Back up to chapter 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Would you call what the Holy Ghost is saying just a sounding brass or empty tinkling cymbal? No. When you speak, it's your spirit speaking. And you can yield more or less to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when interpretation was given, when folks spoke in tongues in the book of Acts, a number of times it says they were praising God and extolling the wonders of God. That's what you're doing. And it's coming right out of your spirit. And the Holy Spirit is giving you utterance. But then there are lesser or greater degrees of inspiration and anointing even in that. If you've done this any length of time, you know this is true. I had a lady take issue with me about this some years ago and said, you know, now you say it. You talk in tongues just any time you want to. And I said, well, and I tried to quote the scripture to it. She interrupted me. She said, you think you can just talk in tongues anytime you want to? I said, well, I do. She said, No, sir. You can't just turn the Holy Ghost off and on like that. And that didn't even cross my mind. It just came right up out of my spirit. I said, right. He's always on. He's always on. Yes. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. And anytime you will speak by faith, he'll help you. He'll give you utterance. And the more faith you speak in, the stronger it is. But who's doing the speaking? Come on, look at it again. 1 Corinthians 14. 14:14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, so who's praying? You are, and my spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Notice the phrase, I will. I will. I will. Could I say, I'm going to kneel down here and pray in my understanding. Could I do that right now? He said, I do the same thing with my spirit. Could we say, I'm going to sing a song I know. I will. I'll do it right now. He said, I do the same thing with my spirit. I will. And so I struggled with that because I didn't understand. I'm still trying to get him to just like a PA system or something inside me, just take me over and just start speaking through me. And like I said, one night, man, we were fired up. We were tarrying big time. And the Spirit of God came in. The Spirit of God was so strong, I'm just draped over the altar. I don't even have my head raised up. I'm I'm saying, oh God, give me the Holy Ghost. And I heard somebody go kaplunk. And I looked over and this guy fell out under the power. Kaplunk. I looked over, another guy fell out. Kaplunk, kaplunk, kaplunk. Everybody up there is out under the power. And I can hardly raise my head. And you know what I'm saying? Oh God, give me the Holy Ghost. Give me the Holy Ghost. And don't have enough sense to realize he's going, hey, it's me. I'm here. I'm all over you. Didn't know how to receive. Had not been taught how to receive by faith. Didn't know how to yield. By faith. To yield means to act on the promptings and urgings of the Holy Spirit. So I went home frustrated. And like I said, this happened month after month. Finally, thank God, got a hold of a little book by Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. What was it? 7 Steps How to Receive the Holy Ghost. And I read that little book in our mobile home, our trailer that we lived in, with red shack carpet and black plastic couch and imitation leather. And I read that, and he said, just tell the Lord, you know, I'm your child. You said, if a son asked his father for something good, would he give him something bad? And if you ask him for the Holy Spirit, he'd give the Holy Spirit to you. Just ask and believe you receive. And then by faith speak. I laid it down. I thought, No, it couldn't be. And something came up to me. I know it was the Holy Spirit. He's in me, even though I'm not yielding to him very much in the new birth. And something came up to me. You've tried everything else. I mean, you shaved off your mustache. So you've tried it. Why not do that? Sounds like Naaman, don't it? I mean, you've tried everything else. Why'd you just go wash in the river? So I did, by myself. I said, well, Father, I thank you that I am your child. I believe in you. And I ask you for the Holy Spirit. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And by faith, this is totally foreign to me here. By faith, I believe, I receive. Now, here's what we're talking about. God has done all the giving. But he hasn't done the receiving. And that's not up to him. By faith, we got to receive. I believe I receive. And then I read and said, now speak. Oh, pray for some Nangali, blame on it. No. Because see, when Aunt Mildred got filled, she saw a bright light and rolled up under the pew and sang three songs. And said, we're Pentecostal, we're experience oriented. And when Brother So-and-so, he got filled and this happened to him. And no, what did he say? They were all filled and what? Begin to speak. And Brother Hagin had brought out, you know, you don't know what you're saying. Your understanding's unfruitful. But you're building up yourself on your most holy faith and you're praying out mysteries. Just do it by faith. But notice, you're doing something. I am doing something. It's not all up to God. That sounds good, but it's not true. It's not all up to God. He's given us a part. And that part is faith. That part is receiving. And there's an enemy that'll try to keep you from receiving. And that's another part we got, which is resisting. Resisting him. And God's not going to resist the devil for you. He told us to resist him. So I spoke in tongues and I spoke in tongues. And hallelujah, the more I did, the better it got and the stronger it got. And I'm still talking in tongues today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. A common prayer that is prayed with less than necessary light. Lord, help me. Lord, help me do this. Lord, help me do that. Anybody prayed that prayer? So you're not going to say that's wrong, are you? No, I'm not going to say that's wrong. But I'm going to say that there could be some wrong thinking with what you're doing there. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. What if I said, you know, Brother John, Mike, Brother Doug, come help me move this drum set. Come help me move the drum set. Please, would you? Please, help me. Help me. Oh, help me. Help me now, fellas. So they get up and head to the drum set, and I sit down. And I said, guys, y'all got to help me now. Help me. Please help me. Well, if they help me, what will they do? Come sit down beside me. And do nothing, because that's what I'm doing. And they're helping me do it. Is the Holy Spirit sent to do it for us? No. He is the helper, the one called alongside to help. If he's helping, what does that mean? It means I'm doing something. Lord, help me quit smoking. You know what people usually mean when they say that? Do it for me. Do it for me. Help me quit spending so much. What do they have in mind when they say that? Make me stop it. That's not helping. That's him taking you over and controlling you. He didn't make you that kind of being. It's only the enemy who wants to manipulate you and control you. God didn't want to take you over and control you. He wants you to yield yourself to him and give him something to work with and give him something to help. Come on, can you see this, friends? I'm wanting to speak in tongues. I'm wanting to be filled with the Spirit. But I'm getting to a point and I won't give him anything to bless. I won't give him anything to give utterance to. Come on, can you see this?
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to make him do my part. And it doesn't work. Blessing. Lord, bless me. Well, he multiplies seed. How many know what a million times nothing is? Huh? It's still nothing. You got to give him something to multiply, something to bless, something to increase, something to anoint. He'll tell you something to do. And if you say, help me, help us, God, help us, God, help us, God, well, give him something to help. Get up and make a move. Guide me, Lord, guide me. It's hard to steer a parked car. Isn't it? Give him something to steer. You got to be willing to step out without the whole picture. Step out not knowing where you're going. Step out to speak. Somebody said, how do you speak in tongues? You don't know how. You don't know. How do you do it? By faith. By faith you make an attempt to express your love and faith and praise on the inside of you. And if you will step out and speak, the fact that you're speaking in and of itself is not supernatural. It's your tongue, your vocal cords, your breath. You're speaking just like when you're speaking with your understanding. The difference is it's not coming out of your head. It's coming out of your spirit. Hallelujah. And as you step out by faith, the Holy Ghost gets involved and gives you unction and utterance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we need to do it right now. Stand up. Everybody stand up. Stand up, singers and players, come on up, please. It is time to speak in tongues. They already think you're one of us. You might as well come all the way in and get all the benefits. Just play something softly, guys, as soon as you come up. I don't care if you've never been filled with the Spirit and spoken other tongues. Or if you spoke a long time ago and you hadn't spoke since then. Or if you get really excited, you might speak in tongues once every year or two. That needs to change tonight. How many believe? We're not just waiting on him. We're not. It would be just as accurate for a lost person to say, well, now I just believe that when God gets ready to save me, he'll save me, but it's all him. And it's none of me. Is that true or not? That is not true. The price has already been paid. He's ready for them whenever they'll come. Is that right? And he's not going to make them receive Jesus. And it's not up to him to receive Jesus. It's their part. Close your eyes if you would. Hallelujah. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And when I do, we're going to get to a place where we're going to speak by faith in the Holy Spirit. And when we do, the anointing is going to come on you. You think so, Brother Keith? I'm confident. He'll come on you, but he's not going to make you speak. You will have to speak. Now, when you do, don't speak in English or in your known tongue, but by faith, speak out. And the moment you do, utterance will be given you. Said out loud, Father God, I believe in you. I believe in your Son Jesus, that he died on the cross. He paid for all my sins. I believe you've raised him from the dead. He's alive right now. King of kings and Lord of lords. And I confess, Jesus, Lord of my life, Lord over me. And you said, Father, if I would ask you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, you would give. And I ask you, fill me to overflowing with your wonderful Holy Spirit. I believe. I receive. I take this gift now. In Jesus' name, give me utterance in a new tongue. I speak by faith now. Ole Sokadi. Everybody speak. Ole Bremandi. Nobody be silent. Everybody. Oh, melancholies are the joy. Oh, Vimayandi Masa Sandi Bono Jore Bandi Alesso. Come on, speak it out boldly, freely. Lift up your voice loudly. He won't make you. Ombe like Sandi Gadocho. Sholi Vimande Seti Kaje. Sandi Bono Vra. Listo kere vrave, listo kere rave, listo kere dabre, ombre manasse, ele framendoso, nancre madiacete, sciola crappa de hatece, disha de hotoho, dohoho. Don't be silent. Come on, speak by faith. The bolder the better. The stronger the better. Oh, vemangashe. Oh, le prembande adodo le shishade. Ninkai, nafehotoho. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said in the scripture, I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. So lift up your voice now and sing in another tongue. Sing. Continue. People are getting blessed. People are getting helped. Just keep on. Onemanse kolempade. Amen.
God spoke something into my heart, and boy, I'll tell you, it was just surreal to me. He said, because sometimes people struggle with these things, sometimes it's because of ignorance, but let me just, as it came up in my heart, I wrote it down. He said, get comfortable with my spirit, or you will get comfortable with the spirit of this world. One is administration to life, the other to death. And what I found when I get around believers who are uncomfortable with a meeting where you actually yield to the Holy Spirit, and they say, well, I'm uncomfortable with that, I promise you, the spirit of this age, you have become comfortable with. Things that are happening around you that are so dark will be things that you'll reason through and say, well, you know, I mean, you know, I know the Bible speaks about that in a negative way, but you know, you really, if you think it through, if you think it through, it really isn't that big of a deal. You ought never to think through beyond God. Because that's not you thinking through, that's you being deceived through. And what he spoke to my heart is that I know for some of you, you stepped into something you've never enjoyed before. And some of you haven't stepped there for maybe a long time. And you just say, oh, that was so wonderful. Wish we didn't stop. And yet there were some of you thinking, oh, sweet, merciful God, get me out of here. Yeah, yeah. It's an amazing thing to be in the presence of God as a Christian and beg God to get you out of it. There is a God that wants you out of it, but it's not the God of heaven, it's the God of this world. You say, well, I don't understand that stuff. Well, I can tell you a whole lot about God in me and that I don't understand when it comes to God, how many of you know God's not interested in me understanding everything in this world about him? There's a yielding to him that he's called us to do. And what a privilege it is that he lets us speak out of our own spirit to him. and bypass this goofy mind of ours. You say, well, my mind's not goofy. Yours is goofy. Ask your spouse. I promise you it's goofy. Here's why. Because it's pure. I'll tell you, it's a hunger for people to know what it means to yield to the Spirit of God this way. It will help you in everyday life. When you pray in the morning, you can slip right over and pray in the Spirit. And then pray with your understanding. How many of you have kids? How many of you ever looked at your kids and went, oh, that's not other tongues. That's just, oh. You don't know what to pray for as you ought to pray. Yet the Bible says you can pray in the Spirit. And the Spirit himself will take hold together with you. And if you, any of you follow Rick Renner, I love what he says about this. He said the Holy Spirit will come and fall into the ditch with you. And he'll take hold together with you against that thing that's robbing you or robbing the person you love. It's one of the most precious things in the world. And just like a little while ago when it was raining, how many of you heard it rain a little bit? I heard that rain. But it never touched any of us because we were sheltered. The rain of the Spirit can fall, and you can shelter yourself from it with what's up here. And I just want to encourage you. You might be well educated, and I'm happy for you, but you're not that smart. No, you're not. A lot of times when we get up here, that's where deception, and I don't mean check your mind at the door. That's not what I said. That's not in the Bible either. Just let go and let God. No, I'm just teasing. Just teasing. I'm sorry. That's the ornery Italian in me. I'm sorry. Bad pastor. I'm just teasing. Listen, you can have fun in God. You can rejoice in God, and you can yield to God. Now we have a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And you can see the hand of God. And I'm so glad none of these guys knew what the other ones were talking about. But it's just the hand of God orchestrating a message that he's trying to get across. And I got news for you. It's not just happening in this church. All three of these guys are on something that the Spirit of God is saying right now across the globe to the church. And you can yield, or you can get back up in this cloudy place in your head. And I promise you, when you cross the street, obey your senses. But when it comes to living life, obey the word. I just want to encourage you. Brother Keith, thank you so much for coming tonight, yielding to God. What an honor, huh?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.